I'm Georgie Crawford. This is the Go Glow podcast with Millie McIntosh. We all have a story, and I believe by telling these stories, we can inspire and empower each other on our self-care journey. This season, I've teamed up with Vichy. Vichy is a doctor-founded dermocosmetic brand with 90 years of skincare expertise. Vichy has established the link between health and beauty and led the way in skincare innovation. Powered by active ingredients, product formulations are clinically proven, hypoallergenic and dermatologically tested for sensitive skin, making Vichy a pioneer in skin health science. Taking a holistic approach to skin health, Vichy is committed to provide safe and effective skincare routines for every skin type at every life stage. All Vichy products are available in local pharmacies nationwide. So, Millie McIntosh joins me on The Good Glow today. Of course, we all know Millie from Made in Chelsea. Millions of us used to tune in every Monday night and watch Millie, Hugo Taylor, Spencer Matthews, Louise Thompson and more live their very glamorous lives. Millie dated Hugo, but during the show in her early 20s, they broke up. Fans were delighted when years later they got back together, got married and welcomed two beautiful daughters into the world. I learned so much from this week's episode. I learned that holidays, Instagram pictures, parties, family, fun, we never know what's going on in people's lives. Everything could look great, but we never know what's really going on. When I was interviewing Millie, I had no idea what she was about to tell me, and it definitely caught me off guard. But I'm so grateful that as women, we can share, we can help each other, we can encourage each other. By sharing our stories, somebody out there is going to feel a little less alone in what they are facing. I'm so grateful to Millie for speaking her truth, for trusting me with her story and taking the plunge to tell it. I continue to be blown away by your five-star moments, your head dips in the sea. Thank you for sending them all to me. I think we're all trying to have this five-star summer and challenging ourselves and finding out what we're capable of and remembering that we are worthy of loving ourselves. Today, I am so excited to tell you about something that I've been working on for the last couple of months. In January, I decided this is what I wanted to do in September. It's called the September Reset. So what is the September Reset? Well, it's a 14-day challenge. It starts on September 5th. I am going to be your health coach for the duration of the challenge. Every day for 2 weeks, I'm going to be sending you new audio content with daily coaching. I'm going to be sharing simple tips that you can implement easily into your life to make big changes. I'm also going to be sending you meditations, visualizations, and a workbook. All you have to do is set 10 to 15 minutes aside a day where you can listen to the content. And you know, I'm always talking about giving back to ourselves and giving ourselves time. So this is the perfect opportunity to do that. And I love putting my healthy habits back into the forefront of my mind in September. You know, the kids are going back to school. We've got a busy few months ahead. So let's first see what we need. I wanted to make this challenge accessible, so you can join me for just $29.95. That's less than €2 a day for daily coaching for 2 weeks. Head over to thegoodglow.ie for more. And I'm so excited to share with you all of the daily lessons that I've been writing and putting together. And I'm really excited to bring this content to you. So let's get into Millie now. Thank you, Millie, for sharing your story. Thanks for helping us feel less alone in whatever we may be facing. I'm really excited for your feedback on this one. So let me know what you think. Millie McIntosh, welcome to the Good Glow podcast. Thank you for your time today. I wish I was in London so we could sit down face to face. How are you?
Well, thank you so much for having me on. I wish I was in Ireland. I wish I could come over there to record this. I'm currently stuck in London in this like really, really hot heat wave and sweating in my bedroom.
Well, I have to say that, do you know what I was thinking this morning about the Made in Chelsea gang. And the fact that you guys were on TV so many years ago, and yes, millions of people are still following all of your stories and still, you know, listening to your podcast, following your Instagram pages. What was it, you think, that made you connect with so many people?
I mean, it is really quite amazing when you think about it. And, you know, I'm definitely closer with some of the cast members now than I was, you know, 10 years ago. And it has been such an incredible journey. I think people just, there's different reasons. I mean, ultimately, people just love real life stuff. They love, you know, they love reality TV and getting to see the ins and outs of people's relationships, like people falling out, people having drama. And then, you know, it looked like fabulous. It was all like glossy and, you know, everyone in lovely clothes with a beautiful setting and going to lots of parties. I mean, it was all quite bizarre because we'd sometimes actually show up on the bus and then they'd film us kind of getting out of a Bentley. It was quite a crazy experience, but I'm so grateful I did it. I think people just, I don't know, they just love the escapism of it.
Yeah. And like, when you were growing up, was TV in your sights? Is that something that you wanted to do?
I mean, not particularly. I did actually audition, not that many people know this, for Britain and Ireland's Next Top Model.
Oh, yeah.
And I got through, nearly got through to the final round where you actually make it onto the show.
Okay.
And it was when like Al McPherson and like Julian McDonald were judges, and I didn't make it into the final round. And I wanted to be a model at that point. I was working as a makeup artist. I was doing bits of modeling, but I thought the show would be a good like platform. And around the same time, Made in Chelsea producers were trying to get in touch with me to see if I would go on the show. And I'd been like, no, I'm going to do this Next Top Model. I'm not interested. And then when it didn't happen, I kind of reconsidered and thought, well, maybe this is going to be a different platform.
Yeah. And when you say like the producers are trying to get in touch with you, how do they know about you? Were you all friends before you went on the show?
A lot of us were friends already, and they had already, a group of like kind of six of the original cast members had made a pilot already, and I wasn't part of that. But when it got like approved and commissioned as a show, the producers and researchers had the job of finding out who these six people were friends with, who they weren't friends with, who they fancied, who they had drama with, and somehow I was connected in that web of people. And they got my phone number and called me up, and I went out for dinner with one of the producers, and you know, we had a lovely dinner and shared a bottle of wine, and she kind of persuaded me to do it. And then I was still a little bit unsure, but I then persuaded one of my best friends, Kagi, to come on the show with me, and we decided to do it together.
Oh, it's so good. And so many memories of the show. It's interesting what you say there. I was watching a documentary last night, and it was actually an American football documentary, and Tom Brady was told a story about this Chinese farmer, and they were talking about his horse went missing. Bear with me.
Okay.
And, his horse went missing and then it came back, and all of his neighbors were saying, oh, isn't that a great thing that's happened? And he said, maybe. And then the horse brought back 10 other horses, and all the neighbors said, well, isn't that a great thing to happen? And he said, well, maybe. And then the horse broke his leg. And anyway, it goes on and on and on. And the point of the story is that you can never decide if something that is happening to you in the moment is actually a good thing in the long run, or maybe it could be a bad thing. But like what you were saying there about not getting the Next Top Model, not getting onto that show, in turn was probably one of the best things that ever happened to you.
I do kind of often think that, you know, one door closes and another opens.
I think that the thing that people really connect with you is that you're real. So when you were on Made in Chelsea, you know, you said it how it was. People watching kind of build up trust with you when, you know, you speak from the heart and you speak your truth. Have you always been that way?
I'm not very good at hiding my feelings. I really wear my heart on my sleeve. I really don't have a poker face. Like, it's pretty obvious to tell how I feel. Like, I'm not very good at hiding it. I think, yeah, I have always been quite outspoken in that I will say what I think and not hold back. I think why people maybe connected with me and found that I was quite open was because a lot of things that actually happened to me on the show were happening in real time, and it was painful at the time. But I did actually have those moments weren't scripted, they weren't like pre-rehearsed, they were actually real moments where I was hurt and where I was angry, or, you know, these things were actually happening in real time, which was really difficult to film, if I'm honest. I definitely did find it difficult. There was lots of tears, anxiety. Some days, you know, it was really stressful, but it did make great TV.
Mm. And, you know, through that time, did you feel like you had support around you?
I've got a really supportive family and friends. I think my parents were quite surprised when I tried to explain Made in Chelsea to them. My dad just thought one guy was going to be following me around with a video camera all day. I was like, no, it's a whole production team. And I did have a close relationship with the producers who I'd speak to all the time, kind of before filming, after filming, and they would just, you know, kind of feel like a friend, like they knew what was going on in my life. I did feel support from them, but there were definitely times where I did feel afterwards that I was maybe pushed and persuaded to film certain scenes when I actually in reality just wanted to, you know, to run away and cry and go home and not face the drama, because it's painful enough to go for a confrontation with a friend or a boyfriend, and then when you're doing that with a crew of people there, it's quite overwhelming.
And then as well, for all of the millions of people to be watching it and then walking down the street and, you know, getting all of these opinions from people who are effectively strangers to you.
Definitely. It was really anxiety inducing watching the show every Monday night when it would come out, and just seeing the kind of hundreds and hundreds of tweets that were suddenly coming, because it was Twitter back then. It wasn't even Instagram. People just did not hold back at all.
God, I can't even imagine what it was like for you guys just being in that fishbowl of it. So what made you decide then that you wanted to move on from the show?
I think for me, it stopped feeling real when I only wanted to be in it when my really good friends were in the show, when it felt natural to me to be kind of filming scenes with them. Kagi had left. I was no longer in a relationship with Hugo anymore. He's now my current husband and father of my two girls. But at that point, we had broken up. I was quite heartbroken for a while. It made it all quite awkward. Then I'd moved on and I was in a relationship with somebody that wasn't in the show. So I just didn't feel that connected to it anymore. And I left when it didn't make sense anymore for me. And it kind of stopped being fun.
And that's a good time, I think, to move on from something, is when the joy is kind of gone from it. And when we talk about, like, you know, moving from our 20s to our 30s and life happening in chapters, is that the way you would think about your life? You know, the ups and downs and the ins and outs.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I definitely learned it. Life doesn't just go in a straight line, and it often doesn't work out. Pretty much never really works out for anyone how they imagine it will when they're a young girl or a teenager. You just don't know what's around the corner. And I think I'm just really trying to be present in the moment and be really grateful for things as they're happening, and not get caught in that thing where you're just always thinking ahead, what's next, and actually being present and enjoying where I'm at right now.
Yeah, because I think when you are living your life in the public eye and you do the work that you do, that it's easy to kind of get wrapped up in, oh my God, what's next? And I've done this and now I'm on to this. And so you're good then at gratitude and staying grounded in the present moment.
It's definitely something I'm trying to work on, and I feel like I'm in a good place with it at the moment. Definitely I do and have struggled with anxiety for most of my life. And, you know, practicing that gratitude and practicing kind of a bit of meditation and trying to be in the present moment, not letting my thoughts rush ahead to the next thing. And it's really helping me to enjoy those kind of, even just the small moments day to day.
I'm actually shocked to hear that you've suffered from anxiety for most of your life, because I would have thought that you know, from the outside looking in, you're so beautiful, you know, confident, perfect family. And it's so interesting that we just never know what's going on with people.
Exactly. You do just never know. And it's so easy for somebody to think that just because you know, look polished and together, And, you know, it's so easy to see that just even from somebody's social media pages, you would just think, well, they have a great life. It's, you know, they don't suffer at all. And you could even be around somebody with anxiety and have no idea what's going on in their head.
And what helps you?
A different balance of things. I think also going into my 30s has definitely been a time of learning and figuring out like what works for me, what doesn't work for me. It's definitely been like lifestyle changes, you know, getting enough sleep, exercising, all of that makes a really big difference, eating healthily. You know, I know certain things that trigger it. But honestly, I would say I've found lockdown and having two children really triggering and has definitely made my anxiety more extreme and quite hard to deal with. I mean, I'd say I've been having panic attacks, or I call them anxiety attacks, since I was probably about 18 or even maybe 16. And it's, yeah, it is hard to deal with. I'm actually, this is the first time I've talked about it, but I feel like it's something I definitely want to be open about. I've actually recently gone on to medication, which was something I've resisted for a long time. I just thought it's so stupid, because if somebody else was talking to me and explaining to me how they were feeling and saying they were going to go on medication, I'd probably say, well, that sounds like a really good idea. Like, good for you. That's a good thing to do. But I found it so hard to actually let myself like do it. I don't know why I had this kind of judgment of myself, like I was weak or for needing to take something every day. But I have to say it's been really helping. It's been a little bit of a bumpy road while I've got used to the medication. I've had some side effects. I've had like insomnia. I've felt a bit up and down over the last kind of 6 weeks, but I'm currently, I feel like, in a good place. I'm having regular weekly therapy and check-ins with my doctor to see how I'm feeling. I feel actually quite emotional, I think, because it's just a big thing to admit and kind of get off my chest.
Millie, I'm absolutely like, that is going to change someone's life, you saying that, because there is so many of us that suffer in silence day after day. And exactly what you said about, I would encourage my best friend to do this.
Yeah.
I would not judge my best friend. And for you then to say, but to make the step myself was so hard. That is one of the most relatable things I have ever heard.
Thank you. I just didn't want to feel like, didn't want the anxiety to rule my life anymore. And there's definitely a lot of work to do. It's not like I can just take this medication, not do therapy, not exercise. I need to do this full 360 approach to feel my best. Having my daughters has definitely motivated me more than anything to just be in my healthiest, happiest self, so I can be the best mum to them. I don't want anxiety to steal any more of these moments from me, which should be easy to enjoy. Like, I think I was on holiday in June, paralyzed with anxiety, and I was on holiday with my family with nothing to make me anxious. And it was really a moment where I just said, this has got to stop.
Yeah. It's interesting what you're saying there about being on holidays, because I was away over the last couple of weeks and I did have some bad days, you know, and I was working a lot over there, and you know, various things come up for me from time to time. I think also living kind of your life in the public eye and totally putting yourself out there is so enormous. So I think that just by you speaking about that is so powerful. And you've already done so much for women in speaking out about your body after having a baby and, you know, going through lockdown and having two children. It kind of like, I feel like when you speak your truth, you just connect with so many more people, don't you?
You're right. And I think it is so important to me to be open with my followers and my fans. And as you said, you know, you were so surprised that to hear that I suffer with anxiety. And I want to, you know, spread the message to people that it's nothing to be ashamed of. You should talk about it openly. I think for me, that's been a big part of my journey, has actually been talking to my friends about it, talking to my family about it, not keeping it hidden as something that only my husband might know about.
Yeah.
And she, like, in talking to people, you realize like it affects so many other people that you know, you don't know. loads of high profile people, people with high powered jobs, and actually a lot of people do need medication, and there's nothing wrong with it. If you had, you know, epilepsy or, you know, diabetes, you'd take medication. If you are really struggling with your mental health and it's not a nice place to be, and there's nothing wrong with needing medication, whether it's for 6 months, whether it's for the rest of your life.
I've had similar conversations with my GP, and she said, when I would go to her and say, oh, I'm just having all of these like catastrophic thoughts, and
yeah, it's, and the intrusive thoughts,
yeah,
so damaging.
And it's like you can never give yourself a break.
Totally.
So my GP had said to me, you know, there is absolutely nothing wrong with medication. And I think the more conversations we have about it, we need to normalize it. But I think we are doing a pretty good job of standing up as women and putting up your hand and going, you know, this is my story. And if I can tell my story and help one other person, well, then I've done a pretty good job today.
Definitely. I really hope that other people listening to this will resonate, and they would maybe have the confidence now to go and talk to a doctor or a therapist, or even just to a friend, to reach out and say how they're feeling and take that really brave step. Because, you know, I did find it really difficult. I broke down in tears when I said this to my husband, and when I said it to my parents, who are ultimately, you know, like my closest people. I found it very emotional. And even the first day when I started taking the medication, I couldn't stop crying, because it was such an emotional step and so important. But it's definitely been the right decision, and I'm proud of myself for doing it. And I really hope other people can feel the confidence to take that step too. I'm obviously not saying that this is what everyone needs if they have anxiety, but for me, this is definitely really helping me to feel calm, to feel in control, to feel like I'm taking control back of my life. And I'm now able to do the therapy that I found too triggering and difficult to do, and to actually look at the reasons why I have this anxiety, which all go back to being young and being about my early teens when I got badly bullied. I can understand that it all is linked to that. In order to actually do the work and therapy to bring up these difficult, painful memories and deal with them and process all of those feelings, so that I'm able to get closure and move on and not still have that trauma in my past, I just didn't feel strong enough mentally to cope with doing that self-work before I was on this medication. So that's my very honest journey of where I'm up to now.
Wow, thank you so much for sharing that. And I'm having so many breakthroughs listening to you talk, because that medication now is a stepping stone for you
totally.
To go into therapy. And that makes so much sense. I've never even heard anyone describe it that way before.
My doctor said, it's like, imagine you're like stuck down a well and somebody throws you a rope.
Wow.
And that really stuck with me as well.
Oh my God, Millie, that's absolutely incredible. As I said, huge admiration for you. Thank you for sharing that with me. When it comes to, you know, you said your friends and family and talking to them, who do you go to when you need a little pick me up or a supportive arm?
I would say one of my best friends. I mean, I've got about four kind of female best friends that would all be, I'd say, almost like equal, that I would call for if I was, you know, I just wanted that pick me up. I feel really lucky to have that. Also, my husband, he, and I'm glad he doesn't, but he doesn't have the anxiety struggles that I have. I do talk to him about it, but I find it quite helpful to talk to one of my best friends in particular that I know has, obviously I'm not saying any names, but I know she has like similar anxiety issues. And I think it definitely helps talking to somebody that has been there and knows how you feel.
Yeah. And then for people, I think, who listen to podcasts, and through podcasting for 3 years, I have heard from so many women who would say, oh, I don't have a girls group, or I don't have a best friend to talk to.
Really?
But listening to a podcast you know, hearing you share your story could help somebody else feel connected, if you know what I mean, or feel seen.
That's what I love about podcasts, because with Instagram and TikTok and, you know, social media platforms, there's only so much you can really say. It's not, you can't really get into in depth about something. Like, you only have so many words you can write in a caption. Your video can only be a certain length. So I knew when I went on this medication that I would want to talk about it, because I want to share my story and I want to be open. I needed a little bit of time just to let it settle and, to be honest, to start feeling better. And I feel like totally in a good place to talk about it today. And I'm really happy that I have. But I would never have been able to share this story about my experience on my Instagram page.
No. I think, first of all, you feel really rushed on Instagram. And second of all, there is so many opinions. And I feel like people who go and seek podcasts, they're not listening to hate you. They're listening to love you.
Yeah, because why else would you bother listening?
Yeah, exactly. And I'm sure there's so many people listening to this today that have gotten something they didn't expect from this podcast. And that's why I just think, you know, podcasting is just so incredible. I'll get straight back to Millie, but first I wanted to thank Vichy for all their support of the Good Glow. I wanted to tell you about their iconic hydration serum, Mineral 89, which I bring everywhere with me and use twice a day. Enriched with hyaluronic acid and 89% Vichy volcanic water, which is naturally found in French volcanoes and rich in 15 minerals essential to skin health. This beautifully light gel serum gives your skin immediate hydration and glow. Think of it as a daily multi-mineral for your skin. It's the perfect first step in any skincare routine, suitable for all skin types, and it can be used every morning and or night after cleansing your skin. For 20% off Mineral 89 products, head over to marspharmacy.ie and use the code GOODGLOW20, and this is running until the 25th of September. Can we speak about Hugo for a moment? There's two stories jumping out for me. There's this girl in Ireland called Dominique Nugent, and she was engaged to be married and she called off her wedding, and she was absolutely devastated. She came on my podcast and loads of, you know, young people in Ireland really connected with her story, you know, heartbreak in your 20s. And anyway, a few months later, she said, "This is my new boyfriend. His name is Paddy. And actually, we used to date each other in our early 20s when we went to Australia." And last week, she announced her engagement. And it's like everybody in Ireland is so happy for her. And it also happened to my best friend, Audrey. She ended up marrying her childhood sweetheart after a couple of years break. And I think that's why so many people love yourself and Hugo so much, because it's that love that we all knew when you were in your early 20s. And then to see you guys come back together is just magic.
You know, if we didn't have that time apart, we wouldn't be together now. There's no way. Like, we needed to be apart, both needed to grow and change into the people we are now. I mean, we're basically kids. We were like 21, I was about 20, he was about 24
when
we dated on the show. And, you know, in the couple of years that we were apart, when we did get back together, we were both really felt like we had changed into pretty different people, and our relationship felt completely different. Like, the love was different. There was a lot more respect there. Yeah, I feel very lucky. I mean, we met when I was 16.
No way.
Yeah, we snogged when I was 16 in a nightclub. And he has just always given me butterflies. Like, from the first time I saw him, I was just like, who is that? And whenever I would like bump into him in London and we had like friends in common, I would just always get this feeling in the pit of my stomach that I just knew like there was something there. And it took us a while to actually finally get back together for good. But definitely, if we'd kind of stayed together from when I was about 20, 21, there's no way our relationship would have lasted.
Yeah, and I think that's so reassuring for people to know that what's men for you won't pass you by, and maybe it's just about timing at the moment. You know, I remember my best friend Audrey, when she split up with Jack in her early 20s, she kept saying to me, "You don't understand, he's the one, he's the one." And I was like, "Audrey, you'll be fine, you'll get over him." But she was right.
I know. And I think with Ben and Jen getting back together, Ben and Jen, sorry, J-Lo and getting confused my names, J-Lo and Ben Affleck getting back together, I feel like there's going to be a lot of people that are suddenly reconsidering an ex.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think sometimes an ex is an ex for a reason. So just put that out there. Don't all go running to your ex. If he was a bad guy, it's not a good idea.
And actually, I was scrolling through Hugo's Instagram page, just, you know, catching up on your life this week. And like nearly every post is about you. Like, he adores you. Do you feel that?
I am very lucky. He's very loving. He's very kind. I do feel that. And we are ultimately best friends. Like, tonight we're just having like a movie night at home. But I'm like excited just to, you know, for him to get home from work and to just make dinner and have dinner together and watch a movie on the sofa.
Oh, and what is like what do your weekends look like?
They're quite different now that we've got the girls. We're just staying in tonight. Tomorrow we are taking the girls down to the countryside to actually visit the house where we got married, which is his uncle's house. And we are spending the day. It's going to be super hot, so we're going to spend the day there. They've got a pool and a big garden, so the girls can run around. And there's going to be some of his family there. So just a lovely like family day. And then Sunday, we're actually probably going to take, we don't do this that often, but I think we're going to take the girls to church and then to go out for pizza in Notting Hill.
Oh, I was actually speaking to someone the other day and I was saying that like, oh, sometimes I just find that it's the weekend and we've made no plans and we're just kind of hanging around the place. It's kind of nice to say, okay, on Sunday, we're going to get up and do this and then do that and then kind of stick to those plans and schedule in joy. Because I think before I got sick, I always thought that joy was something you stumbled across. So if something fun or happy happened, that was by coincidence. But actually, you can schedule in, you know, time to be present with your child or time to do things as a family. And you guys seem like you do that a lot.
I think it's really important, especially we've got a few things going on the next couple of weekends where we're not actually at home and not with the girls. We've got like a wedding and then we're going away, just the two of us, at the end of August for a couple of nights. So it's really important to me if we've got trips like that coming up, that we do schedule in this family time. I try and do stuff as well just with the girls on their own. Like, I'm taking Sienna on a little mummy daughter date later. Sometimes I do stuff just with the baby. That's really important too. I think it's just definitely finding that balance. But I like to make plans and have things scheduled in that I know we will enjoy.
I was lucky enough to have one of the most incredible conversations with your friend Louise Thompson. Last year, I think it was, or maybe about 18 months ago, and I'm not looking for any details about Louise, but you must be so proud of her. You know, I'm following every single thing she puts up. I think she is doing incredibly well in terms of sharing her story, and you must be so proud of her.
I am. I really feel for her. We actually gave birth on the same day.
Did you?
Aurelia is exactly the same age. As her son, and we couldn't have had more polar opposite experiences. And I just, my heart just breaks for her, because I feel so lucky to have had such positive birth experiences both times. And it's so hard being a new mum when you've had a really positive and relatively straightforward birth experience. So to go into that with, you know, life with a new baby when you've had such a traumatic time, I can't imagine. But I think she's being so brave. You know, she's clearly, you know, being really strong, and she's really finding that, I think, that connecting with people and sharing her journey is really cathartic for her. And I'm sure she's helping so many people.
Oh, absolutely. And it's actually also incredible to see her support network around her. Like, she's so loved, you know, and her brother Sam is absolutely hilarious. And
he's I'm sure
really lifts her up, you know, in the tough times. Thanks for, I didn't want to pry or anything, but I just wanted to acknowledge, because I get messages all the time. I think people think I'm friends with Louise. They're like, how's Louise? I'm like, I don't know. I'm just watching along with everyone else. But, you know, I just think she's doing an incredible job of sharing her story. Speaking of the OGs, and I know that you guys all went to Binky's wedding. She just put up a video this morning. It looked like such a gorgeous wedding. Do you think you have a bond like no one else? Like, you've shared such an incredible journey together.
Definitely. I mean, so many funny memories and that we'll always have. But I think we've all changed and grown up a lot since the show. We were all in our early 20s and we're now in our 30s. Like, lots of us I've got families now, and it's kind of funny thinking back to how much we've all changed. I think we're all better people now, if I'm honest.
Do you think that you'd ever go back to TV?
Maybe. I have thought recently that maybe you should do a kind of Made in Chelsea babies reboot, and like, would it be stressful? Would it be a good idea? But maybe it would be fun. What do you think? Do you think people would want to watch it?
100%. Because I think, like, no offense to the new people on Made in Chelsea. And I just felt like as the show moved on and you guys moved out of it, I kind of moved away from the show. So I feel like, you know, I've had Spencer Matthews on the podcast. I've had Vogue on the podcast. Louise, I've had Kagi, and now you. And you all are still in the spotlight and are still have all of your fans, and there's definitely, I think, there could be potential for a show there.
I think, yeah, we could do a spin-off. I mean, you know, I always said never say never, but for a long time it didn't feel like it made sense, and now maybe it feels like things are lining up in a way that it could.
Yeah.
Maybe there's some conversations to be had. It's exciting.
Tell us about your own podcast.
So I have launched a podcast with one of my oldest best friends, Charlie, who is also a mum of two. And the reason behind wanting to do a podcast, I guess, was to really have a platform where we could just have these really honest and open chats and connect with other women and other parents, other mums, and just, you know, share warts and all, like the good moments, the bad moments, the embarrassing moments, the cringe moments, the sad moments. And just have this platform where we could be open and honest and actually have these conversations, have great guests on, have experts on, so we can actually give people some good advice. And one thing I've really enjoyed is we called the podcast Mum Lemmas and More. And we encourage our listeners to send in their mum lemmas. And a mum lemma is basically like a mum dilemma. Okay. It could be help my toddler keeps taking their nappy off and wiping out on the wall and I don't know what to do, or I can't deal with the way the kind of jibes I get from my mother-in-law, it drives me up the wall, I'm gonna, you know, go nuts, what should I do? It's, you know, it could be, it's very varied, and we share kind of what we're up to at that moment in time and what our current mum lemmas are, but we also hear from our guests and also from our listeners. And we're currently in the planning stages of season 2, which is going to be out this autumn. And I've really enjoyed it, but I've only done one series. So I feel like we're only just relaxing into it. It's only the tip of the iceberg so far.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll make sure to link your podcast in the episode show notes of this episode if anyone wants to go and check it out. I had one final question for you. Just what you were saying there about kind of sharing on your podcast and having these, you know, real conversations. What do you think has been the transition for you? Like, why do you think that now is the time to really not be your true authentic self? Because I think you always have been, but to kind of say, you know, this is me.
I think it's wanting to share more of who I actually am now, and people maybe have this preconception of me from Made in Chelsea, because that is what most people who follow me probably originally knew me from. And I'm not that girl anymore. And there's only so much you can say and show of your personality, I guess, on Instagram. I've shared a lot more openly through my journey to motherhood, through pregnancy and through my journey with both of my daughters. I've shared all sorts of different things to do with whether it's my mental health, how I felt about my body, you know, breastfeeding, sleep issues with the girls, lots of different things. And I've really enjoyed that. So I guess with the podcast, it's kind of an extension of that. It's a chance to go deeper and to have these more in-depth chats.
And they help so many people. So thank you so much for everything you do. Thank you for being a guest on the Good Glow. You know, I've had your name written down on my diary for so long to ask you to come on. And this season I was like, okay, I need to find a way to Millie. And I got to you through your podcast. So thank you so much for coming on today, sharing so much with us. And thank you so much for helping so many people along the way.
Well, thank you for having me and thank you for making me feel so comfortable. I'm really so grateful to you as well because you've given me a really great opportunity to be very open about what I've been going through recently with my mental health. And I felt in a really safe, secure place to talk about it. And I really hope it is going to help other people out there.
Oh, thank you, Millie. That means so much to me. Honestly, it does. I hope we can catch up again soon, maybe in real life next time.
You're such a gorgeous person. I'm like, when can we hang out? Can we be friends?
I have to come over.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Okay, darling. Well, thank you so much and have a lovely rest of your day. And thank you, everyone, for listening.
Thank you so much for listening to The Good Glow today. Millie McIntosh, you are such a special person and doing incredible things for women. We have launched the September Reset today. This is a great way to connect with yourself on a deeper level, rediscover your focus, tap into your intuition and restore your energy. It's available on thegoodglow.ie now for $29.95. We're getting started on the 5th of September. So thank you for listening and I'll see you next week.